Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm having a pretty good day. I hope you're having a pretty good day, but I don't think the President of the United States is particularly having a very good day. He probably thinks he is. That's normal for President Trump. He probably thinks he is. But conservative commentators, people on both sides of the aisle, elected officials, I can't find many of them that are thinking that Donald Trump's performance earlier today in Helsinki, Sweden, along with Vladimir Putin, is a good thing. Most people are slamming it right and left. And so I've got several things that I want to share with you on that. I was listening and watching earlier today and just kind of scratching my head. It's like, what are you doing? First of all, his comments last week, you know, Putin's not an enemy, but a competitor. Now I know, and some people on the Facebook page, if you want to join us there, Facebook, just jump into the search box, put the Steve Noble Show, and you'll find us. We're doing Facebook Live today, as we do most days, and so you can jump right in the studio that way. But people on my Facebook page are like, hey, you know, it's the art of the deal. Just trust him. Just go with it. He knows what he's doing. I'm like, really? Does he really know what he's doing all the time? Why do we assume that? And I really struggle with that. I understand where some people are coming from, and they're hardcore Trump supporters. I get where that comes from. But it looks like for a lot of people that they just can never, ever say anything negative. There's absolutely no negative reporting from the hard Trump reporter side that he ever does anything wrong. It's just trust him, go with it. It's the art of the deal. And people on my Facebook page, you know, assuming I'm a liberal. Which is really funny, which is why I'm laughing. That's a joke. Steve Noble, liberal. Right, oil and water. So anyway, that he's getting blasted all over the place. Now, you would expect from somebody like Nancy Pelosi that's going to happen no matter what he says, right? Every single day, this was a tweet, I find myself asking, what do the Russians have on Donald Trump personally, financially, and politically? The answer to that question is that only thing that explains his behavior and his refusal to stand up to Putin. So she's talking about his joint appearance where they had a little thing this morning. They're both seated and he starts talking about Russia hosting the World Cup and Russia's team doing okay and that. I'm like, okay, move along. Let's get to something that actually matters. And then later on, then they had their closed door meetings and then they come back out and they have this press conference, and the press conference really is what most people are going ballistic about. So from the right, you get things like this. This is Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. There's no question that Russia interfered in our election and continues attempts to undermine democracy here and around the world. That's just not the finding of the American intelligence community, but also the House Committee on Intelligence. The president must appreciate that Russia is not our ally. There is no moral equivalence between the United States and Russia, which remains hostile to our most basic values and ideals. So he's hammering away. Senator John McCain, who's no lover of Trump and vice versa, obviously, he came right out. Today's press conference in Helsinki was one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. And if you want to throw that off and ignore him, Jeff Flake said, I never thought I would see the day when our American president would stand on the stage with Russian president and place blame on the United States for Russian aggression. This is shameful. Ben Sass, another Republican in the Senate, U.S. Senator Ben Sass issued the following statement. President's statement that he holds both countries responsible for the deteriorated relationship between the United States and Russia. This is bizarre and flat out wrong, the senator said. The United States is not to blame. America wants a good relationship with the Russian people, but Vladimir Putin and his thugs are responsible for Soviet-style aggression. When the president plays these moral equivalence games, he gives Putin a propaganda win he desperately needs. So that was Ben Sass. Liz Cheney, daughter of Dick Cheney. As a member of the House Armed Services Committee, I am deeply troubled by President Trump's defense of Putin against the intelligence agencies of the U.S. and his suggestion of moral equivalence between the U.S. and Russia. Russia poses a grave threat to our national security. Abby Huntsman, you would know her if you watch Fox and Friends in the morning. She said, no negotiation is worth throwing your own people and country under the bus. John Weaver. So this is about John Huntsman. Resign if you have any honor. Neil Cavuto went ballistic. Neil Cavuto on Fox Business calls Trump's press conference disgusting. That sets us back a lot. Ari Fleischer, who was the former press secretary for George W. Bush, said in a tweet, of course, because that's the only way we communicate apparently anymore. I continue to believe there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, but when Trump so easily and naively accepts Putin's line about not being involved, I can understand why Democrats think Putin must have the goods on him. Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman, look, I'm no big deal, he's saying about himself, but today is the final straw for me. I will never support Trump again. If that makes me a never-Trumper, so be it. I'm a Tea Party conservative. That will never change, but Trump was a traitor to his country today. Whoa, that's a big word. That must not be accepted. And on and on and on it goes. Daryl Issa, several other people chiming in, and those comments keep coming. So today's performance, which, again, I listened to and then I watched, I was just sitting there wondering, just like his comments last week, Putin's not an enemy but a competitor. Really? A thug, murdering, lying KGB agent is not your enemy? If he's not your enemy, what the heck is he? A competitor? Well, that would be fine if we were talking about competing real estate magnates, but we're not. We're talking about Vladimir Putin, who lies, steals, cheats, murders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And why Donald Trump is taking this this approach, I have no idea. And everything going on today in that press conference where he basically was acting like Vladimir Putin might as well have been the president of France. You know, he's just like a not a major player, no dirt on him whatsoever, fairly trustworthy guy, a decent individual. And he said, what? Just scratching your head. So Ben Shapiro completely ripped into him. And this was from his website, of course. The president of the United States made a fool of himself in his meeting in Helsinki on Monday with Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. He disowned his own intelligence agencies, went soft on Putin, and suggested that the United States bore some primary responsibility for the deterioration in relations with a country that has invaded two sovereign states in the last 15 years, hacked major American institutions, and fostered instability in the Middle East by backing the world's worst human rights violators. President Trump, this is Ben Shapiro writing, seems to be under the misimpression that because he knows he didn't collude with the Russian government during the 2016 election, the Russians are innocent victims of a rabid press and a misguided Mueller investigation. This is dangerous and wrong, Ben Shapiro says. The Mueller indictments of 12 Russian citizens for hacking the DCC, the DNC, and Hillary Clinton campaign are damning. Yet Trump disavowed his own intelligence apparatus in order to discredit any notions of collusion and seemed to blame members of his own executive branch for tensions with Russia, all to assuage his own ego. And speaking of his executive branch, it's not like many of the top members in his branch are weak on Russia. You got a bunch of hawks in there. John Bolton is a hawk when it comes to Russia. Pompeo's a hawk when it comes to Russia. The Mattis was a hawk. You got a lot of people in there that know exactly what Vladimir Putin is. Why Trump's treating him like he's a normal dude, I have no idea. More on that. We'll be right back.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing. Jesus Christ, magnified.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. If you want to join us on Facebook, we're trying out some new software for Facebook Live. And I think you can probably join us there as well right now if you want. Just jump into Facebook in the search box. Just put Steve Noble Show, NLBLE, and you'll jump right into the studio with us. Going through some a bunch of reactions, which are overwhelmingly negative to the president's performance today with Vladimir Putin. When he went in there, I wasn't really expecting him to go in and play hardball. There's some people are kind of brushing it off like, well, it's the art of the deal. He knows what he's doing. And there's so many people that will just go with the president no matter what, because they, you know, just like there were people with Trump that with Obama that way. I'm not that way with anybody, not even myself. Somebody taught me years ago, hey, Steve, always be suspicious of yourself. And I am, because I know my sin nature and I know everybody else has one, including you. I'm trying not to be too rude to you, but you have a sin nature, too. And I don't trust anybody. Ultimately, I trust the Lord. And the rest of us, we try to trust. But I'm not particularly trusting of the president in many ways. And does he bring a different angle to it? Sure, he does. But the way he's treated Vladimir Putin recently and kind of soft-pedaling and dancing around it like he's just another leader of another country is ridiculous to me. And he's getting hammered all over the place today for it. I'm reading from a Ben Shapiro article, and Ben Shapiro said, In a follow-up article I'm going to read in a second, the problem isn't Russian collusion, it's Trump's massive ego, and I'll unpack that here in a second. But, you know, so they started this presser. Putin began the press conference by stating that bilateral relationship is going through a complicated stage, but that the Cold War is a thing of the past. Putin then blasted the United States for withdrawing from the awful Iran deal and suggested that the Crimea situation wasn't a result of Russian aggression, but instead an internecine Ukrainian struggle. Right. Putin then stated, I said several times, including during our personal contacts, that the Russian state has never interfered and is not going to interfere with internal American affairs, including election process. He then suggested a joint working group on cybersecurity. It's hilarious. They've been doing it for years, and not just 2016. They're messing with our elections all the time. Why? Because a destabilized America is good for Vladimir Putin and his Russian desires. A destabilized Europe, a destabilized world is good for a dictator, psychopath, murderer like Vladimir Putin. But Donald Trump's treating him like he's just, you know, a decent guy down the street. Then they have competing real estate companies, which is ridiculous. Then Trump took to the microphone. This is in Ben Shapiro's article. In jaw-dropping fashion, he explained that all the conflict was over, just as it supposedly was with the North Korea. Our relationship has never been worse than it is now, he said. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago. I really believe that, Trump added. That he spent a great deal of time talking about the election interference. Then came the Q&A, and that's when things got extraordinarily ugly. Again, this is an article by Ben Shapiro. Trump stated that he held both countries responsible for the deteriorations in relations. I think that the United States has been foolish, Trump stated. I think we've all been foolish. We really should have had this dialogue a long time ago. A long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. What? There was no collusion at all. That was a clear campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. Of course, he had to go on that. Putin then jumped back in to back up Trump. As to who it is believed As to who is to be believed and to who's not to be believed, this is Putin, the liar. You can trust no one if you take this. Can you name a single fact that would definitely prove the collusion? This is utter nonsense, just like the president recently mentioned. Putin then said that he was sympathetic to Trump during the campaign, adding, isn't it natural to be sympathetic towards a person who is willing to restore the relationship with our country, who wants to work with us? Then Putin launched into an attack on Mueller probe itself. He went so far as to invite Mueller over for some Russian supervised interviews with these 12 people that we indicted last Friday, the government indicted last Friday, who will never come to trial, will never be interviewed by American forces. But this is Putin playing games with that. So they go back and forth and back and forth. Trump added it would have been out long ago. And if anybody watched Peter Strzok testify over the last couple of days, and I was in Brussels watching it. It was a disgrace to the FBI. And Shapiro says this. Now, none of this may mean anything. The most obvious explanation for this behavior isn't Trump being in Putin's pocket, but Trump's continual anger at the collusion investigation and his willingness to believe that Russia wasn't involved in the election in order to brush off allegations regarding that collusion. It's also true that Trump's administration doesn't follow his lead on policy. He says a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. Regardless, Trump's the president. No president should behave this way. And undermining your own intelligence agencies while believing the word of a former KGB agent who murders political dissidents is ugly stuff. So then Shapiro goes on, and I'm reading this and I'm sharing this because I happen to believe and agree with Ben Shapiro on most of this, okay? Which I know is frosting some of you, but I'm not here to answer to you. I don't mean to be disrespectful or rude. On Monday, President Trump proved once again, why would Trump do this? The accusation from the left, he did it because he's working for Putin, right? That's the obvious one. The real reason, according to Ben Shapiro, Trump is an egomaniac. Now just listen for a minute before you turn the channel. And he's peeved, and he has been for 2 years, that people are casting aspersions at his election victory based on supposed Russian interference. Thus, Trump fired former FBI Director James Comey for refusing to state publicly that Trump was innocent of collusion. He's been deeply angry at the Mueller investigation, which has been looking into allegations of collusion. He's repeatedly attempted to deflect from the possibility of Russian election interference itself, even crediting an unnamed 400-pound loser in his mother's basement for hacking the Democrats. And we know Trump is a creature of ego. And that's just true. Isn't it? Can you admit that? That Trump is a creature of ego? Now, I know we all are. But his ego is particularly active. We know that he treated Kim Jong-un with punctilious sycophancy, crediting him as a powerful leader and one in a 10,000 star, and suggesting that their summit had ended the North Korean threat. We also know that when Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had the temerity to attack Trump's tariffs, Trump turned on him in brutal fashion and dressed him down publicly on Twitter. Putin, however, has always been nice to Trump. That simple fact, combined with the fact that Trump cannot stand implications that his election was in any way illegitimate, explains his behavior today, none of which excuses that behavior. So what I think what Shapiro's after here is any notion that Donald Trump's ascendancy to the presidency of the United States, other than him just beating not only a huge election group in the primary, but then beating the Hillary Clinton campaign and the massive assumption across all sides of the aisle, for the most part, that she was going to be the next president. He wants all that credit. And when you sit there and say, and I suppose in many ways he deserves it, but if you sit there and say, actually there was Russian collusion, that's why he won, then you're taking some of the icing off of his cake, right? That's the way that would come across to somebody with an ego the size of Trump. And he talked about it today. Now, I got the Electoral College numbers wrong and stuff like that, but President Obama said at one point there were 57 states, so they all screw up and do stuff like that. I don't lose my mind over it. But the fact that he did this and then played nice guy and played kind of weak, I thought the word weak was effective today in describing his interactions with Putin. Now, granted, we have no idea at this point what happened behind closed doors. And Donald Trump is such an interesting person to me that he could easily act one way behind closed doors and a totally different way in front of the public. And that's his way of maybe trying to manipulate the situation. Maybe it's the art of the deal. Maybe it's the way that he works people over. I don't know. I can't get into the guy's head. But to publicly play a footsie, for lack of a better phrase, with Vladimir Putin, who is a thug, a murderer, basically a dictator who would love to see America continue to be a divided, a weak America and a weak Europe and a weak European Union, is good for Vladimir Putin and his desires, and for the president not to play hardball on the world stage for everyone to see, to me, was a huge mistake. Pray for the guy. He definitely needs it like the rest of us. This is Steve Noble. Some really nice immoral stories when we come back. All right, just a word of warning. If you're at University of Minnesota or anywhere else, or perhaps one of these days with me, if you refer to me as he, you know, if you do, if you get it wrong, he, him, his, none, prefer not to specify, she, her, hers, they, them, theirs, zers. I'm not talking about the Avengers. As for gender identity, you can check off a gender, enter your own, gender nonconforming. Oh, this is a great list. Genderqueer, man, man, that's so, wow, old-fashioned. Non-binary, prefer not to specify. Two-spirit, are you a two-spirit person? Or woman, wow, that's a little old-fashioned too. So that's that one. Calling someone by the wrong pronoun might get you fired or expelled, college's gender policy draft says. That's about the University of Minnesota. I'll share that. And then did you hear about this? Probably not. TED Talk. How many of you like TED Talks? You know about TED Talks, right? You can get it what do we use? I can't remember the name of our service that we use at home to get stuff. Roku. So you can get it on Roku, all these other places. You can get it online. TED Talks, right? So all these really smart people usually come on, and I think they can talk for a maximum of 15 minutes, and they're on there, and they make their case, and it's pretty interesting, and there's a wide variety of things on there. They just got hammered because of a TED Talk that they just released that took place over in Germany, and I'm going to play the opening of that, which is a little painful because she speaks really softly and quite slowly. But it's the point she's getting at. And then you'll know why TED Talks had to turn around and pull this one down. But the fact that it's there and some thinking behind it, I'll share. I wanted to play the new Planned Parenthood ad campaign from Planned Parenthood Federation in New York. But I can't. It's 45 seconds long. The name of the video, the ad, is Protect NYC's, New York City's, Freedom to Blank. Begins with an F. And so throughout the video, you get all this. They dropped the F-bomb probably 30 times, maybe 40 times in a 45-second video. And the whole point is that, hey, do whatever you want with whoever you want, whenever you want, right? That's the whole point. But that's actually Planned Parenthood's campaign, an ad campaign in New York, is the Freedom to Blank campaign, urging urban millennials to contribute to Planned Parenthood's well-stocked coffers, quote, to make sure that everyone has access to the sexual and reproductive health care services they need when their promiscuous lifestyles go horribly awry. New Yorkers collectively have more sex than the rest of the country. This is a quote from their campaign. So Planned Parenthood wants to ensure that all of the sexually active New Yorkers have access to reproductive health care, the advertising watchdog claims. The ad even features a video that's every bit as serious as you'd expect. Planned Parenthood of New York City had to be brave and make fearless decisions to overcome their daunting challenges. So our first goal was getting them to embrace that, which they certainly did, Planned Parenthood's ad agency told Adweek. We wanted to be, listen to this, read Romans, okay, when you get a chance later, read Romans chapter 1, the last 10 verses, okay? And then consider this. This is the ad company that works for Planned Parenthood. We wanted to be celebratory in the face of massive opposition rather than plead their case in a typical PSA campaign that's easy to ignore. Freedom to blank is meant to speak to a younger generation more empowered than ever and hopefully willing to help. It all starts with the courage to do something different, and we believe we have already succeeded, the company continued. Well, as a matter of fact, you haven't. We have a new daily dose starting tomorrow in the book of Proverbs, which will stay in the book of Proverbs probably for the next 2 or 3 months. And of course, Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs, and in Ecclesiastes, Solomon reminds us that there's nothing new under the sun. New news is old news happening to new people. This is nothing new. The freedom to blank is meant to speak to a younger, more empowered than ever, blah, 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 blah. No, this is not new. But this is Planned Parenthood. This is Planned Parenthood. So if you're a person that supports the Democrat Party, who is very supportive of Planned Parenthood, you are guilty by association. Now, I know that doesn't play well in a lot of corners, but that's just the reality. Planned Parenthood is so in bed with the Democrat Party. And does that mean every member of the Democrat Party is a suck-up sycophant for Planned Parenthood? I hope not. And I don't think they are. But many of them are, and certainly at the top of the party they are. But this is what you get. This is our country. So if you never stop and pray for our nation, man, shame on you. Because this is where it's going. And if you're not paying attention to what your kids are being exposed to, if they happen to go to government school, or even some private schools, private Christian schools, some of them get this wrong, and they're not being taught this, they're not seeing the reality of it, that's a big problem for all of us. So you got to remember that. This is real. This is happening. Now let me play this for you. This is from TED Talks, okay? This just came out, and then TED Talks had to pull it down pretty quick, and you'll know why here. But it's a little slow, but I'm only going to play a minute of it. But it's the first minute, and you'll see where this is going, okay? Recently on TED Talks out of Germany.
Let me tell you about Jonas.
Talking about Jonas.
Jonas is 19 years old. He studies law in Munich. In his spare time, he likes to play soccer. Jonas has a secret.
Okay, so what is she trying to do here with respect to Jonas? Is she trying to get you to hate Jonas or to like Jonas or to consider Jonas as just a normal 19-year-old going to college who likes to play soccer, right? So far, so good. He's just a 19-year-old that likes soccer. That's it. Probably watched the World Cup all the way through. Congratulations, France. Back to what she said.
Which he thinks he cannot share with anyone, not even with his best friend or with his parents. He's just too afraid of anger, rejection, and repulsion. Jonas knows that he has to suppress his sexual drive for his entire life. And he also knows that there will never be a loving and fulfilling partnership that he can enter. Because Jonas is a pedophile. He's only attracted to female children between the ages of 6 and 12 years. But since he's aware of the consequences for the children, he has never given in to his sexual drive.
Okay, so Jonas is a pedophile. And then she goes on to say in some other parts of this TEDx talk, scientific studies indicate that one of the strongest indicators of child sex abuse committed pedophiles is social isolation. People who can't tell anyone that they are pedophiles can't get any help, she states. For example, they can't tell their friends that they can't go to the beach because children will be there as well. So there's this whole, you have to walk a line here because she's obviously appealing to the notion that we need to feel sorry for Jonas. And do you? You're a Christ follower. You know that lost people are enslaved to their sin. Some Christians do terrible things too, but lost people are enslaved to their sin, cannot see the truth,
chew toys for Satan himself, and so should you feel sorry for Jonas, who is a pedophile. Should you? You should feel some compassion for that situation, yes. But most of the time, I'm just like, lock him up. However, in this case, I happen to have a good friend who went down that road starting when he was a teenager and ended up spending several years in the federal penitentiary. He got saved before he went in. It's a total miracle what God did with his life. And he didn't engage anybody physically. It was all online, kind of, you know, child porn, basically. That's what it is. And so do you immediately off with his head? No, but nor do you normalize that. And that's kind of where she was going here. And TEDx just got hammered for it and they pulled it down. So, you know, the event organizer, YouTube channel that the event organizer titled "Why Our Perception of Pedophilia Has to Change." But go back, because this has happened a lot with the transgender issue as well as homosexual issues. When they talk about what she was saying, that the reason there's so many problems for pedophiles is what they call, quote unquote, social isolation. So bullying, social isolation, you're made to feel like an outcast, which then causes you to be depressed and which causes you to go down the road of self-harm. Like transgender people, once they go down that road, there's a 40% likelihood that they'll try to take their own lives. And oftentimes that agenda that's trying to paint all of this stuff is just another way you're born. It's just a sexual orientation. It's no difference than hetero or homosexual. It's just pedophilia. It's just another sexual orientation. And we need to accept that and make it easier for people to come out and talk about it. Well, you can see the slips. I hope you can see the slippery slope here, where you go with this. And it's just, when this came up during all the same-sex marriage arguments over the years, which I was involved with a lot of that, when this came up and then you would say, well, it's going to lead to these other things. But no, it's not going to, no. Transgender stuff, polygamy, no. And hey, have you ever heard of the North American Man Boy Love Association? Ever heard of them? No, what is that? Oh, well, they're advocating for the dissolution of statutory rape laws. Because if a 45-year-old man wants to have a loving relationship, sexual relationship with a 13-year-old boy, who are you to say that's wrong? And this is where you go, the insanity of it all. You go, the world's going crazy. You're absolutely right. What is the definition of insanity? It's being out of touch with reality. What is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is truth? Well, now you sound like Pontius Pilate, right? What is truth? There is a truth because there is a creator. And he established truth. It's in his very being. So when you start rejecting that, because you don't want God to be real, because you don't want to be judged, then all of a sudden you pretty much got to be open to everything. Because you can't all of a sudden accede to, there's some kind of fixed truth over all of us. Over every human being, every human institution. There's some kind of fixed truth? That sounds like trouble. So if you're going to reject that, which is God, then you pretty much got to start accepting everything else. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to go to our buddy David Fisher here in just a second. A reminder about some shows coming up later this week. Tomorrow, what an amazing story. I've never met Melissa Odin, but she'll be on the show tomorrow. I heard about her story, watched a video about it, and survived a botched abortion. I think she was, Callan, how big was she? 2 pounds? And they just kind of set her off to the side, thinking that she was just going to die, put her in the corner, put her in the closet. And somebody picked her up and lived. So she'll be on tomorrow. And what God has done with that and the ministry that she's done and the testimony and that story, just unbelievable. So Melissa Odin will be with us tomorrow. A very special guest on Wednesday down in Charleston, South Carolina, will be my dad. And the reason I'm bringing my dad on is because he's 91. He served in Germany during the occupation. He was in officer candidate school going through that training when the war finished. And so then he was involved in that. And we're losing the greatest generation. Not many of them left. There just aren't many left. So we'll spend the show on Wednesday with my dad, who's still doing pretty good. He's 91, and we'll spend the show with him, and we'll go back in time with my dad, and we'll listen to what was it like in America? What was it like when you heard that Pearl Harbor was attacked, and then we're going to war, and the whole country's turning itself towards war, and what was that like? What's the sense of patriotism? What was that like? And then did you want to go? And his answer to that is, yeah, I wanted to go. Why'd you want to go? What was that like?
What were you going through as you were preparing? Because he went in not knowing that the war was going to end. And then in Germany, when he went over there, part of the occupation. So we'll hear from a member of the Greatest Generation who happens to be my dad. We'll do that on Wednesday, Thursday, on Theology Thursday. We're talking with Dr. Tate Cockrell, who's a fantastic Christian counselor out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, about 25,000 hours of counseling experience. We're going to talk about marriage specifically, how to have a good marriage, and what to do if your marriage is struggling. That'll be on Thursday. So a great week here on the Steve Noble Show. God is good all the time. And every Monday, we have our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital with us. We do doing a little Money Monday update, and then the first Monday of each month, we spend the whole show with David. These issues are very important. The Bible talks a lot about money and possessions. Jesus talked about it. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. If it shows up in the Word of God, it's going to show up here too as well, and our good friend David Fisher always helping us out. David, how are you?
Yeah, I'm so happy to wake up this morning proclaiming that God is still on the throne no matter what's going on in the world today, and
man,
it's been
amen.
Kind of a crazy day already for the world.
Yeah,
but
totally crazy.
We live in exciting times that we can yield to our Savior, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and we have to remember that this momentary and light affliction, as the Scripture calls it, and then later on, you know, it disappears under an eternal weight of glory, and we have to remember that. I always say, David, we live in the here and the now. We long for the there and the then, and that's just the tension that we have as Christians. We always start with a little passage of Scripture, and I so appreciate that you have always led us that way on these Money Monday updates. But Matthew 11, I'm just finishing up. About 130 devotionals I wrote through the book of Matthew. We're finishing up the last one today. But Matthew 11, 28 to 30, let's start there.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I love that scripture that no matter what is on our plate, is on our heart, so to speak, that's affecting that, we allow it affect our spirit. The Lord is saying, every single one of you, whatever your burden is, come to him, and he's going to put a different perspective on it. He's going to give us rest. We're going to have to carry this yoke, but he wants us to be yoked to him. You know, like the I grew up on a farm, and we didn't use ox, but the Bible picture where oxes were yoked to each other. So instead of us being yoked to this problem, let's get yoked to Jesus, and he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the problem better than we can, and he can handle it better than we can because he's gentle. He's humble. And we'll find rest when we just give him that yoke that we're carrying, and we get yoked up with the Lord.
Yeah, amen. What a great point, and thank you for that powerful reminder. It's something we need to dive into that and remember every day. Well, the market's flat today. I mean, everything else is going nutso because of Trump and Putin and what happened today in Helsinki, and everything's going ballistic, but the market really didn't react a whole lot today. So what's going on that, and is it just because it got overshadowed by Trump and Vladimir, or what's going on there?
Well, the meeting that was historical between President Trump and the Russian president didn't bring confidence to the market, neither did it bring uncertainty. So the market is still kind of wading through this whole tariff thing and trying to drudge through it on the implementation of $34 billion last Friday. But since we're talking about Russia, here's a fact that came out on Friday from our own Treasury Department. The Treasury released a report saying that back in March, Russia sold off half of their U.S. Treasury bonds, and that was $47.4 billion. They're the number 11th holder in the world. Now they're less than that. But this is actually, according to the Treasury, what caused the 10-year yield to go over 3%. And also tightening the gap between the 10-year yield and the 2-year. To put into perspective, January 1st, there was a 30% bigger gap between the 2-year yield and the 10-year yield right now. It's gotten more narrower, which means short-term rates are going higher, faster up than long-term rates, 10-year. And if they go higher than the 10-year, that's called an inversion, and 9 times out of 10, that has caused the recession. So that's part of the thing that's happening with Russia today, or coming out in the news on Friday. We're talking on your program today about another thing, though, is Russia's kind of, you know, they talk about this publicly. I saw the interview and the back and forthness between the two presidents. But what's going on behind the scenes, the behind the scene of Russia is a little bit different than what we saw today. Russia is now, you know, working with Iran, and they're trying to develop a $50 billion agreement in the Iran's oil using their two primary energy giants out of Russia, Rosneft and Gazprom, the two major energy oil companies. And they're signing, getting ready to sign a big treaty here. So what we think is trying to keep Iran from selling their oil globally to support their nuclear program. Russia's actually facilitating that. And Russia and the United States own 90% of the nuclear weapons in the world, and here they're becoming the ally towards Iran.
Yeah, really fascinating to watch all that. And all that being true, that's why I was so disappointed today that our president wasn't playing more hardball, at least publicly, with Vladimir Putin. So what about the trade wars? Is there any new news on that? We keep talking about that.
Well, yes, there's people that came out over the weekend on Bloomberg News and Business Insider Business. There's a lot of quotes coming from very well-respected people like Scott Minyard, who's the head of Guggenheim Partners. He said that, quote, the hail of risk is just getting fatter and fatter as we go along. So far, the Chinese have shown no interest in backing down, and neither has Donald Trump. Another person, Jim Milstein, he says, it's like a perfect storm, creating conditions where recession is very likely and the increase of incidents of defaults and delinquencies are much higher. So there's people, there's so many quotes. I spent hours listening to these on Bloomberg News. It's just an eye-opener because the trade war is now the highest and the most intense in the history of our country, officially that was implemented on Friday. Now they're talking about $200 billion more being implemented that we would go towards China. It's a tit for tat. But if China does what Russia did, and they hold $1.3 trillion of bonds, treasuries, and put in perspective, Russia only sold $47 billion. If they start to unravel $100 billion or $200 billion, that is certainly going to cause a recession because it's going to raise the 10-year yield.
Right, right.
So we have some problems here. The farmers are taking it in the shorts. Soybean farmers, they've lost so much money. The soybean crop is taking it bad. It's down 51% since Wow. They've been talking about tariffs. I mean, it's just, we're talking billions of dollars of losses to our U.S. farmers in the form of soybeans.
Yeah, and so this isn't something that's just a couple of world powers blustering back and forth between USA and China or Xi and Trump. This is having actual tangible impact on people today.
Yeah, you know, the head of the soybean farmers has been going before Congress, trying to help them understand. And, you know, I'm not anti-Trump and I'm not anti-Washington, but there's a disconnect completely. But there is a silver lining. The Agriculture Department is talking about setting up a fund that was set up in the Great Depressions, and they're talking about borrowing $30 billion from the Treasury to subsidize farmers. So we might have a, quote, bailout here of farmers happening, hopefully, at some level to help the severe downturn of soybeans because China is walking away from us and going towards Brazil.
At what point do you think all the trade war and the tariff action will cease, David, or will it?
You know, there's people coming out there and saying, like Morgan Stanley has said, it will only stop when the markets drop to cause enough pain for it to stop. So there's a guy by the name of Edward Alden. He's a senior fellow at the Council of Foreign Relations. He says the answer is the honest one. Nobody really knows, but there's not a clear goal to extend a trade war that we can visibly, clearly say what are the parameters when this ends, when we meet those measures or mileposts. So yeah. The end might be far away.
Yeah, exactly right. So we're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And I know we need to be thinking defensively, and I know you've got some great education out there for people. David, how can they get a hold of that?
They can call us the old-fashioned way at 844-879-8882, or they can go to the web at landmarkgold.com.
Excellent. As always, David, thanks so much for spending time with us today and helping us understand these complex issues. We look forward to talking again next week.
Absolutely. God bless America, my friend.
God bless you, too. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk later. Okay, back tomorrow, friends, with Melissa Odin. Again, I've said this earlier, she'll be on for the full show tomorrow, talking about the fact this is a woman that was an abortion survivor herself. An amazing story. She'll be on with us tomorrow. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, We'll talk to you again real soon.